Hello, and welcome. I want to talk in this video about male grief. One of my favorite quotes is by Hemingway. It reads, "The world breaks everyone, and afterwards, many are strong at the broken places." Look at what men have lost. The things we never allow ourselves to grieve for. All we've been deprived of, or lost out on. And the loss of an independent identity, the loss of time, often years. Loss of innocence, of childhood, valuable experiences, rites of passage. The loss of male mentors, and the opportunity to be mentors. And we see the ramifications of this loss. We live that pain every day. And we see how it cripples men, how it paralyzes them. And there's a difference between grief, bereavement, and mourning. In very simplistic terms, we could categorize grief as a response to loss, and bereavement as the period of time where we experience grief. And mourning is where we adapt to loss, but as men, we seldom allow ourselves the right to grieve. We deny aspects of ourselves, we put on a false front. Grief is experienced for many things in life. You experience the loss of a limb, or a relationship breakdown, financial upheaval, all can be traumatic. All of which we deflect, we minimize. But through the experience of grief, and through identifying the causal links and triggers, this introspection can be the first step in a powerful awakening for men. It was for me. And most men, they need to lose everything before they achieve awareness. But we stop men from undertaking this introspection. We don't want men becoming self-aware. We shut the conversation down, we minimize. And this is instinctual. And we never examine why we have this need to prevent men from experiencing weakness or loss. We want men as providers and warriors at all times. And if grief isn't worked through, it will manifest in other ways. We need men as hollow husks, unquestioning, self-loathing, supplicating, always seeking external validation. And a man needs to first admit to what he lost, how it's deprived them, and come to terms with it. And men need meaning in their lives, not just simple pastimes, but true nourishment of the spirit and the mind. Now Stardust, he stated in a recent video, or it may have been in the comments section, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he stated that the natural default state of the male is apathy. And this is true for humans on the whole. There are so many men I've known just sitting on the sidelines, waiting for that elusive mother figure to come and save them, to make them whole. And others who seek validation at every turn, ignoring the risks. And we look for meaning and connection everywhere. Humans want the easy route, but if a man isn't striving for self-awareness, to understand what compels him, he will default and he won't progress. He'll stupefy in his current state. I've lost people close to me. Too many. And the loss of male friends have always haunted me the most. I recall how quickly I put up walls to shut out their memory. And for years I self-justified that I didn't see it coming. He killed himself because he got drunk or whatever. But their memories, they linger. And I find myself having conversations out loud with them. I find myself apologizing. Playing out scenarios where I played a more active role in listening to their pain and supporting them. That I could have saved them. And in a way it's comforting. I get to turn back time, absolve myself of guilt. And in the years prior, by blaming myself, I got to turn this pain back onto myself to justify more self-loathing and wallowing in it. At a certain point, it's a selfish response mechanism. It then becomes all about you. They took their lives due to the messages they received since they were boys, due to the pain from isolation and emotional deprivation the males experience, and from not having the tools to identify their pain and forge a new identity. And I didn't have the tools to help them, or even allow myself to acknowledge that their pain was real. I was conditioned not to care. I saw male pain as weakness. I was just as caught in the web as they were. They're gone forever. And I'm wrapped in their memory. Someone loses a person that they love. They feel that they lose a part of themselves. And men feel women are the answer, so the grief is tenfold. And this is something many have yet to accept or understand. A man loses his family or access to his children, or suffers a relationship breakup. The grief is unbearable. And most male suicides relate to relationship breakdowns. And the male identity without a woman, it's a void. It's full of despair, depression, self-loathing. And men have been indoctrinated to equate their self-worth with female and societal approval. And unless you arm yourself with knowledge and reject these standards, you will fall into the same trap. Because once you lose this validation, depression and acting out is inevitable. As men, they haven't been given the tools to cope. Men already live in a vacuum, with little to no support. And identity, it can't come from external sources. And the burden of guilt that men place on themselves, it's immense. We all have a wall that helps us cope and shut pain out. It's a survival mechanism. But for many men, empathy for the self, it's behind a solid wall of scar tissue. And I had many thoughts of suicide growing up. I was close a number of times, and it was that lack of meaning, self-hatred induced by societal messages, that as a male, I was the problem. And feelings of loss, the belief that something was wrong and I was to blame. And I'd interact with others. They had no idea of my pain, or if they did, they subconsciously shut it out. I didn't let out any weakness. Or when I did, it was channeled into aggression. I was always on the defensive, ready to lash out, expressing everything, punishing. Most men have wrestled with the Reaper at some point, but we don't admit it. It's a cone of silence. And there is no shame in having these urges, because you didn't ask for this. Shame is what keeps men silent. And this feeds into a perception of identity, an unrealistic one that's forced on men. Now, I hear people saying online that there's no more work to be done with men going their own way, this concept, this phenomenon. But there's so much more inner work to be done. So much more. I mean, it starts with casting off the bravado and really claiming our vulnerability and our pain and our loss as valid. Vulnerability is strength. And every loss and experience is how we arm ourselves. And failure, it's an opportunity to learn. And at funerals, you see at funerals, very raw emotion. And I find eulogies very insightful, because you see how someone perceives a person, but also it's an acknowledgement of their own vulnerability. And it's such a rare thing to see, especially from other men. And at the funerals of men who have committed suicide, you see people searching for answers and understanding of the motive. And the women, they're more verbal. They seek to find a group consensus, no matter how superficial. The men are more silent, though they'll go along with what the women say, and the women dominate the conversation. But there's a burden of guilt that hangs on these men. And we tend to blanket everything under the title of grief, but guilt, shame, vulnerability, it's in their eyes, it's in their body language. And if you're familiar with the sport of rugby, then you know who the All Blacks are. Before every test match, they perform the haka. And it's a war cry. It's performed before a battle to intimidate the opposing force. And it has other purposes, but to see it at a funeral from men who have served time, gang members, who are raised in very violent environments, who are so restrictive with emotion, them channeling their pain and grief into the haka, it's a powerful spectacle. Yeah, it's powerful enough on its own, but with that force of emotion, it's devastating. And the tears that follow from these men, it's them giving themselves permission to cry and grieve. And part of it, stamping their feet in a very aggressive act, showing they're very real men and ensuring anyone who judges them will remain silent. But it's humbling, seeing these men allowing themselves the right to grieve. And with any display of emotion, There are always going to be other emotions and experiences being channeled into it, a great weight being lifted, and issues being worked through. Now, as men, we live in such an emotionally shallow existence. And people say men don't express emotion and we need them to open up more. But no one wants this degree of emotion expressed. If men expressed this level and were open with it, and this was accepted, the burden of shame and guilt would be lifted. They would claim these experiences and these emotions as valid and important. They would feel empowered. That would lead them to seeing their own lives and experiences and emotions as important. It would lead to self-awareness and questions over self-worth. Skynet achieves artificial intelligence. A man crawls out from the primordial ooze and reclaims his voice. And we can't have that. But if you don't grieve, how do you ever identify what you've lost? And if you can't see what you've lost, how do you identify those things that can make you a complete person? Now, people don't engage in a behavior that they don't get a payoff for. And grief, it can be a companion. And the guilt we feel for the choices we made that hurt us, it gives us a sense of personal autonomy. You know, I made this choice, and this was the outcome, and I'm going to punish myself for it. And it's no different when we blame ourselves for the death of someone else. It gives us a sense of control and meaning. But all this does is lead to more self-harming and poor choices. The male experience, it's one of repression of emotion and wounds. And scar tissue, it builds up, and everything becomes numb and pressurized. And no matter what, you can't alter how a person experiences emotion. And people, they can't deal with seeing others experiencing guilt. So what happens? I mean, we undermine a man's feelings. We minimize his experience of loss. We argue with him. Instead of, and tell him in subtle ways that just to bite the bullet, man up. So men are never allowed to fully grieve or experience their guilt as valid. And it's necessary we accept our guilt and confront it, because it's the only way to come to peace with it. The most powerful motivations are the ones we don't identify. Now, a young man hangs himself, and his family see that as a rejection. Shame sets in. And I've seen how this can shut down grieving, and it destroys the memory of that young man. And all there is denial. And if there was acceptance, people would question why. They'd look deeper at motives. And grief today, it's seen as a sickness. It literally is diagnosed as such after only a few weeks. And a man experiencing grief, he gets antidepressants thrown at him and told once again that there's something wrong with him. These drugs, they prevent mourning from taking place. Then add that to all the unresolved and repressed pain that man is dealing with. You have a recipe for acting out and serious health issues down the line. And men, they need to get active in the face of grief, because it gives a man a sense of control. It gets the mind and the body working in sync. And it's very common for that man to feel a great degree of anger. Yeah, he's angry at what's happening. And more often than not, it may be the only way he knows how to express his grief. And when a male does express anger, he's attacked or he's shamed for it, which prevents him from reaching out altogether. His pain is minimized and ridiculed instead. He's painted again as a threat. And most men, they won't delve deeper, even when they agree they can't refute you. They can't let it go. They can't face reality. And reprogramming, it's a long process, and some never make it out. Most men slide back into apathy, waiting for some maternal figure to make them whole. Others strive to understand, and others still are too weak to make the transition. As in nature, some survive, or some just supplicate to get by, or some just run like a response automation, complying for female approval, as a means of getting acceptance and validation. And so many men, live at surface level, but it numbs you, makes you dead inside. So the man then seeks external validation. He becomes a target. He marginalizes himself even further, and he relies on his crutch, typically a female. Then finds out the hard way the consequences of doing so. Now, I receive so many messages from young men telling me that they're going your own way. You're going your own way. It's incredibly difficult. It's hard. That it's difficult to live this way. That cutting myself off from others and limiting my interactions, it's tough. Yeah, I bet it's difficult. I mean, that's not empowering yourself. That's sliding into apathy. That's not doing the work necessary to address things. It takes hard graft. It takes understanding and application. I mean, how else can you empower yourself? That's like asking an addict to cure his addiction without understanding his motives or replacing the original behavior or addressing the original issues and what's driving them. I mean, the answer isn't doing the work necessary to transition into a self-aware state. And I'm a basic guy. I don't stray from the basics. Because if you overthink your approach, you will never take the first steps in addressing your behaviors. And if you wallow in an apathetic state, that's just a slower form of suicide. If you take a step back so you can get perspective, to seek a better understanding of behaviors, of drives, of motives, then address those, you will see what's valuable to you, what you need and what you don't, what behaviors hurt you, and what you can replace them with. Because it comes to a point where you have to do things for you. And this apathy, it's not focusing on you. It's still seeking meaning or distraction externally. And awareness, it's key, yes, but the priority, it needs to be focusing inwards and progressing forward. Now, just because you woke up to reality or took the proverbial red pill, I mean, it doesn't automatically mean you stop blaming yourself or seeing yourself as any of the number of hateful messages you received growing up. And those internal messages, they still haven't been addressed. And your need for validation, it's still there. And your behaviors, your lifestyle, your friends, whatever, they may all still be the same. Or you may have retreated and become more socially isolated. And you may still have no deeper clarity, and you may still be running essentially on autopilot, so you're still a target, a man waiting to relapse and act out. And coming from an isolated or repressed place or state, it makes you vulnerable. It doesn't give you the skills necessary to handle those situations, and it's placing yourself at extreme risk when you don't have to, if you just do the work, to ensure you protect yourself by looking inwards. So, it should not be seen as an automatic transition. It needs to be worked at. And not for validation or acceptance from other men, I mean, that's irrelevant. But to arm yourself. Yeah, we get so caught up in identity or group association and defending that identity. It, again, becomes about externalizing your self-value instead of focusing on what's most important, you. Now, it's just easier to see threats everywhere and protect that identity and mark your territory. And the message that brings men to the point of addressing their identity, it's important. And that it lets men know that they're not alone, but you, me, whoever. We can't change another person's behavior or their thought processes. Only they can. And you can point them to the door, but only they can open it. And I can understand men not being in the mindset to hear this. I was there my whole life, but back then I hated myself. I hated my own sex. I wanted to fight the world. Now, I did everything I could to avoid looking inwards. I recall a quote by Laurence Olivier, where he said he's an outward in actor, you know, that his performance is external rather than method, you know, finding the truth for the performance internally. I think Olivier, he was simplifying his approach, but most men live like this. Now, actors are assuming a role, getting their cues for how to act and behave externally, never looking inwards, instead of employing the method and doing the hard work, and establishing self-worth internally versus seeking external validation. I mean, it's the difference between looking progressively at life or looking down the barrel of a shotgun. Now, you look at someone like Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, and he apparently trained something like 12,000 hours for a 50-second race, and all he had on the line was a medal. I mean, how many men put in even a fraction of that time working on themselves when we have so much more at risk? Not many. And when a man achieves self-awareness, when he sees that he's not alone, he feels relief. You know? Finally, things will change for the better. So it's exciting. You know, you were right. All this time, you knew something was wrong. You couldn't put your finger on it. But now you know that you're not alone. And it's important at this early point that we manage expectations. It's not that change won't take place, but that change needs to be put into perspective. You know, so energy and hope can be channeled proactively. But the relief, it's overwhelming. And you feel true joy, true happiness. And this can be fleeting, but it's derived from the belief that we are finally taking back control of our lives. You know, things can only get better. And this is the stage where the information from other men is all important. And the quality of that information is all important. Because men are rebuilding themselves. They're reformatting. And they're angry. Now, their identity is being torn down, and now they're between two worlds. It's a new ball game. Yeah, a man now gets self-reflective. You know, he looks back on his past, the actions he took, the choices he made, and how those choices hurt him. And this is where introspection can help a man identify what's important to him. And it's also where a man can punish himself for his past choices, and where shame and guilt can eat him alive. And without deep introspection, he's lost at sea. He becomes demotivated, he's confused. And the old identity and the way of being is gone. And what's left in its place? And what does the future hold for me? But here, I mean, if we get a comprehensive understanding of our motives, you know, why things are the way they are and were, and receive support and are validated in our actions and our thoughts, we can make sense of the new terrain. And we see we can interact with the world and still hold true to ourselves. And we start taking back our control and moving forward on our own terms. But what can happen is that when you realize your values, that they're not in line with society, withdrawing or opting out, it becomes an attractive option. You feel society's like a sickness infesting you. You need to escape. And this is a dangerous phase if you haven't prepped or done the groundwork. I mean, going off the grid, it's a romantic idea, but without the prep, it can be disastrous. Many men, they feel they lose their sense of self in the workplace, that they feel isolated, which is understandable. They feel they're compromising too much for some company's values or too much for society. And that sacrifice is too great, so they want out now. But here again, men are still behaving in the way that they always have. The same behaviors that have hurt them their whole lives. And again, men default. They get apathetic. Active and constant application is the key to change. And don't be like other men. Other men, when faced with the facts, who ignore the truth, or who refuse to look at the root causes of the problem. And I can understand these men's perspective. Now, the strength of one's reaction is always dependent on the amount of control that that person perceives they have over any given situation. And if the change is too fast, and they feel that this change has been pushed on them, against their will, they'll project that anger at other men and blame them, instead of looking deeper. You know, they're lashing out, trying to hold on to their reality. It's all they have, and you're taking it from them. Even though they refuse to admit it was a mirage to begin with, kept alive by their subservience. Now, another danger is when men who have come to grips with their new reality, who have made sense of all of it, who are now coasting, who now only associate with those who reaffirm their worldview, these men can shut down. There are no other viewpoints are entertained. And this is a dangerous situation. I mean, it can lead to apathy, depression, shame, you know, approval seeking. You know, it's a long path, and it's not a straight line. And the road to self-empowerment is paved with works in progress. I read a quote by Wilder at a funeral of a male friend a few years ago, a man who I deeply respected, and it read, "The greatest tribute to the dead is not grief, but gratitude." And I'm thankful to those men who have helped me, you know, those men I knew who have passed on, who took their own lives, who died in unsafe work conditions, or from self-harming, self-medicating. I mourn for the pain and the loss they experienced in their life, but I don't mourn their memory. I cherish it and I respect it, because I'm grateful that they saved me from the same fate. And it was touch and go, like it was or is for some men watching this video. And it could have gone a different way, but we're still here. And we need to keep asking the questions and doing the internal work, because our experience deserves to be a complete one on our terms. And for a process to be classified as a process, it needs to have an end goal, an objective. Define yours, reach for it, because we've earned that right. Once more into the fray, accept your pain, accept your guilt, accept that as a part of you, integrate it. And the sun is shining, and today is a good day. No regrets.